All right. Good morning, New Life Baptist Church. I hope all of you have opportunity to watch this video so that we can all be hearing the same things and saying the same things as we're seeking to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and being conformed to the image of Christ. This is a unique time in which we live. I think that the Facebook post that I happened to take a screenshot of the other day and was scrolling back through my photos and saw this kind of tells us what the times are like right now. The top post, which I was taking the screenshot for, said, if there's one maverick molecule in all the universe, God is not sovereign, and if God is not sovereign, then God is not God, by R.C. Sproul. And then I noticed what was below it, the caption that was below it, where one of our neighbors here said that some people aren't shaking hands because of the coronavirus. I'm not shaking hands because people are out of toilet paper. That's just kind of where we are right now. Who would have thought it a month ago? If you're watching this on YouTube as we continue to telechurch for the second week in a row, if you're watching it on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That will allow you, whenever a new video is posted, that you'll get a notification of that. If I'm not able to get word out, you'll have that accessible to you. Also, there are no services for the rest of the month of March. We hope and pray that in April we're able to gather back together. I feel the need to remind you all of why we're not meeting. It's because, in essence, although there are biblical reasons why, but we want to stop the spread of the coronavirus so that we can get back together sooner than later. Please continue to give to the church if you can financially during this time. You can do that by going online and giving. You can give with a card or using your checking account information. It's all secure. You can mail it in, or you can drop it by the office one day next week. Just text or email me, or text or call me to make sure that I'm here and you're able to get into the office. If you have lost your job or if you are struggling financially during this time, I'm not telling you that you need to keep giving. I'm not telling you not to give, but I'm not trying to put pressure on you to give. If you're struggling right now, you need to let us know so that we as a church can come along beside you and help as we are supposed to. Please keep praying for one another and praying for the leaders. Pray for the church leaders. I need your prayers, especially when it comes to putting these videos up and really doing this in a satisfactory way, a way that is able to be a blessing to the church and to serve the church well. If anyone has expertise in this area and you want to come along beside, I'd be glad to take that help. Who have you checked in on lately? This past week, I sent you a directory out. How many people have you called? How many people have you emailed? How many people have you texted? Listen, this isn't a time for us to be selfish. If you're sitting around waiting on everybody else to call you, then you are in the wrong. You're looking out for your interest and not others' interest. You need to pick up the phone. It goes both directions. Phone lines work both ways. Emails work both ways. So you need to call somebody, talk to somebody, check on somebody. If you can't think of anybody else to call and check on, you can check on your pastors. Call on Eric or call on David. We need to be checked on as well sometimes. So do that. Do that this week. Check on some folks this week. And I'm talking to you. All right? Don't forget to sing before you get into the preaching today. The Swinney family is going to sing number 4, Praise the Savior. And then number 21, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, along with others that we might sing. But please choose some songs and sing together as a family or as an individual. You can listen to music, sing along with it. Now, number 4 is one that I'd like for the church to start memorizing so we know it by heart, so that we can really sing it at the spur of the moment. It's a very short song. It doesn't take long to sing, but it's packed, and it has a lot of great truth in it. It's a great little song, hymn to sing. So please try to memorize that as a family. My family and I have been able to do that, and it's a blessing to be able to sing that together. All right, so we'll take a moment right now. You can pause the video and sing as a family and also pray. I won't be praying in the video that I'm doing today, but please pray together, asking for God's blessing on the preaching of the Word. We'll get started with an introduction to John 17 right after you pause it, and then hit play in just a second. All right, so as we come to John 17, you guys will read it in a moment, but this is holy ground is the way that I view this passage. This is referred to often as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And here in this chapter, we see several themes from the Gospel of John coming together. We see the theme of the glory. We see the hour. We see the relationship of the Father and the Son. We see eternal life. We see the Father, those that the Father has given to the Son. All of these converge right here in John chapter 17. We've seen them in different places throughout the gospel, and now they kind of all come together right here. It's pretty cool. Jesus spoke these words, and his disciples were able to hear these words as he was either left in the upper room still, and they were about to leave, or they had gone through over Mount Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is praying this prayer. But he prays to the Father, and he prays, and the disciples are able to hear his prayer and to know that they are being prayed for. Those who will believe in their word are being prayed for, and that they are loved by the Father and by the Son. So it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. As a high priest, Jesus would have done what the Old Testament high priest would do, as we see in Exodus 28 and 29. He would minister to the Lord as priests. Maybe so often we think about being ministered to, but Jesus would be ministering to the Father by accomplishing the Father's command and by bringing His people to Him through His sacrifice. Jesus, like the Old Testament prophets, some of their garments would have been called glory and beauty. Jesus takes that to a whole other level here as he is praying for his glory, that he might glorify the Father, as we'll see in a second. Let me share with you a few things that as high priest Jesus says in this high priestly prayer. Hold on real tight as I go through these. Jesus says this: I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you've given me to do. I have manifested your name. I have given to them the words which you've given me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. I am glorified in them. I was with them in the world. I have kept those whom you gave me. I come to you. I speak in the world. I have given them your word. I have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself. I have given them glory. I have known you. I have declared to them your name. Jesus says all these things as our high priest and as the high priest to God. As you read this chapter, be looking for these things. All right. First of all, check out key words or phrases as you read. You see glory 8 times. Father is found 6 times. It's found 53 times in chapters 13 through 17. 122 times in the whole book. Given, gave, keep, or kept are found often. Given is found 7 times in reference to God giving people to the Son. It's found many other times in reference to the Father giving or Christ giving to His disciples. Also, we see the word one found 3 times, or the emphasis on one being found 3 times, verses 11, 21, and 22. And then the word world found 19 times. Here's a natural outline for John 17. Jesus prays to the Father concerning Himself in verses 1 through 6. Jesus prays to the Holy Father concerning His disciples in verses 6 through 19. And Jesus prays to the righteous Father concerning all who would believe. Notice that the way Jesus addresses the Father: Father, Holy Father, Righteous Father. All right. Now, as you guys get ready to read, here's what I want you to do as you're reading through these 26 verses. See if you can note how many requests the Son makes of the Father. I found seven of them in this chapter. See how many you can note, and I'll tell you what they are right after we get back together. Y'all can pause me right now and then hit play when you're done. All right. The ones that I found are these. Verse 1, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Verse 5, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Verse 11, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 11. Verse 15, keep them from the evil one. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Verse 21, that they may be one, that the world may believe that you sent me. And then verse 24, they which you gave me may be where I am, that they may behold my glory. All right? So that's just a little rundown of John 17. There's a lot more we could say about it, but I'm going to stop there. Let's go to verse 1. Here's what I want us to see in this first verse. The glory of the Son and the Father. The glory of the Son and the Father. Let's take each verse at a time. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. So Jesus prayed, and he prayed for his own glory because his glory would result in the Father's glory. He starts off here by saying, the hour has come. This hour was significant. This is the hour that John's gospel has been leading up to. Something you might want to do as a family devotion time or to talk about after the message is, how many places in the gospel of John can you find the word hour, and can you see the progression that is made throughout the gospel? All right? So this hour that Jesus faces here, where he says the hour has come, would have been the most difficult hour that any man in history would have ever faced. Jesus, knowing that he is going to be made sin for us and that his soul would be made an offering for our sin, spoke these words, Father, the hour has come. Think about the Father and the Son. They had been one for the last 33 years. Or really, we can go beyond that and say they had been one for all of eternity. But now when Jesus talks to the Father and prays to the Father, he says the hour has come. And what this hour would have entailed was an hour of suffering and death and being forsaken by the Father. Where he cries out when he's on the cross and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? As Psalm 22 would have said as he was quoting that passage. So Jesus here, when he says the hour has come, it meant a great deal to him. And what he had on his mind here was the glory of God and the need for the Son to be glorified in order for that glory to happen. Here's what I'll say again. I'm making this statement. I don't want to be confusing. But the Father's glory is dependent on the glory of the Son, because the Son's glory is dependent on his obedience to the Father's command. Now, glory means this. It means exalted praise and honor. It's an attribute of God. The glory of God in the Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms, the Latin phrase for glory of God would be Gloria Dei. The definition is, it's the divine essence of God as absolutely resplendent and ultimately great. Revelation 21:23 tells us that the New Jerusalem is illuminated by the glory of God. The praise and honor of God as supreme Lord of all is what this means. Maybe we could say that glory is the holy character of God going public. It's God's glory or His holiness being made known, being made famous. We might say it another way in Psalm 135, verse 13. The psalmist writes, and he says, Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, endures to all generations. For glory to happen, those two must go together. The name and the fame of the entity. See, when Jesus was on the cross, what we learn from this passage in this first verse is that he begins his prayer. You know, you may have heard the song before, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I'm sure that was true, or is true. But there is something that we can definitely say is true. When Jesus was on the cross, the Father was on his mind. Because as he here is preparing to go to the cross in this prayer, he's asking, Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. This brings us to the next point in verse 2. Look at verse 2 with me, please. As you've given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. All right, verse 2. As you've given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you've given him. The first thing we saw is glory for the Father and the Son. The second thing I want to point out to you is glory and eternal life. Glory and eternal life. I'll say it this way. The fame of God is the giving of eternal life to the given of God. Or the glory of God is the giving of eternal life to the elect of God. This isn't double talk. I'm not trying to be confusing. Here's the reality of it. If Jesus doesn't come through on what he was sent to do on the earth, then the mission fails and the Father isn't glorified because nobody's able to receive eternal life because Jesus did not accomplish redemption for us. So when Jesus is talking about the Father being glorified, he goes in then into verse 2 and he talks about the authority that he's been given, which we see in John chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, that all authority has been given to the Son. We see that in Matthew 28, that all authority has been given to the Son. And what did the Son do with that authority? But he was obedient to the Lord. He obeyed the commands of the Father. And in doing that, he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he accomplished eternal life. He is able to give forgiveness of sins and justification, salvation, sanctification, redemption, and ultimately glorification to those who have believed in him, to those who are given to him from the Father. So eternal life and the glory of God are connected to one another. They cannot be separated. I'll try to use this little illustration. I won't be long. If you think about Nick Saban, obviously an amazing football coach. I think he's, what, tied with Bear Bryant for the most championships of any college football coach. All right, so let's think about Coach Saban. If he had never won any championships, would he be considered the greatest coach of all time? Would he even be in the running? Obviously, the answer is no. But he did win championships. He has won championships and may win more. And because he won those championships, he is considered great. He has been made famous, if you will, all across our nation, many places in the world. All right? Why did he win those championships? Was it because he's a great coach? Sure. But didn't his players have to perform as well in order for those championships to be won? Yes, absolutely. When it came time of under pressure, in the championship games, in the big games, the players had to come through. So the players accomplished the fame that Nick Saban now enjoys. And in the doing so, they themselves also became famous. There are even a couple of guys who won the Heisman Trophy as running backs over the last 10 or so years, 10 to 12 years. All right? So Nick Saban is famous as a wonderful coach in college football. His players made him famous because they did what he told them to do. They performed under pressure. And in the same games where these things occurred, the players also got a name for themselves and became famous. Now, how many of the players, to take this another level, how many of the players, when they were going into those games, do you think the greatest hope and desire of those college players, and maybe even them coming to Alabama, how many of them do you think had the attitude, I want to go there and I want to play and perform and be the best that I can be so that I can make Nick Saban the greatest coach of all times? No. I doubt very few of them had that in mind. That might have been somewhere on the list, but that wasn't up at the top. They want an education. They want a free education. They want to be famous themselves. They want to go to the NFL and play one day. They want to play for championships. It's basically about what they want to do. Now, let's bring that back to Jesus and the Father. That's why I'm telling you all that illustration. Because Jesus here sought the Father's glory. Although in seeking the Father's glory, it had to result in His glory as well. A glory that He had experienced, as we'll see, with the Father from eternity past. And it's a glory that He would receive again. And it is a glory that would give Him a name that's above every name. It was an obedience that would give Him a name that's above every name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2. So Jesus, in His making God famous, as well made Himself famous, if we could say it in that way. Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to take the next few minutes and try to give us a couple of points of application. Now, if you'll look at chapter 17, verse 22 through 26, we may not read that whole passage. I'll just read a couple of the verses here. But I want you to see here that what Jesus has done goes to the Father's glory, it goes to His glory, but it also impacts us. It impacts us in that we are able now to be a part of that glory and to share in that. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. If you'll look at verse 22. Jesus is praying for us right here. He's praying for you if you're a believer. It says in verse 22, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them." It's talking about us. The giving them there is us. "That they may be one just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me, and have loved me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father," verse 24, "I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world." You see, Jesus brings us into this glory of His and this glory of the Father's because we've been redeemed. We've been purchased by His blood and we are made a part of the family. It's a pretty awesome thing. All right, so I want to just go with 2 points of application real quick. All right, 2 points of application. Point number one is this. We as believers have really an amazing privilege of praying to our Father in heaven just as Christ prayed to His Father. So this high priestly prayer begins, as we saw in verse 1, and He prays to the Father. Because Jesus has made us kings and priests to our God, through redeeming us through His blood, we now don't have to go through another man in order to pray to the Father, but we can come straight to the Father in prayer. And what a blessed thing that is in these days that we find ourselves living in right now, that as Hebrews speaks about, how we are able to come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. So we are able to do that as priests of God. We can do this because we have in us the Spirit of God. We have in us the Spirit that cries out, "Abba, Father." It's the same Spirit from which Jesus spoke. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, "And He said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will.'" Galatians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Romans 8, verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" In Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, Jesus taught His disciples to pray, and He said, "In this manner, therefore pray, 'O our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" And then at the end of the Gospel of John, when Jesus saw Mary Magdalene and she clung to Him, He said to her, "Do not cling to Me, for I have not yet ascended to My Father, but go to My brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to My Father and Your Father, to My God and Your God.'" So as believers, we have this very precious and unique opportunity, this relationship that we have with God, where we can call out to Him, "Abba, Father." We can come to Him as our Father. Let me give you this illustration to try to explain to you how important this is, okay, and what this means. Now, I remember the first time in my life when I was just a young child that I saw a toilet beginning to overflow. I was at my house. I don't remember the circumstances, so I won't get into all of that. But the toilet is starting to overflow. The water is rising in the toilet. And I remember the person I need to talk to here is my dad. I need to get his advice on what to do. So the toilet water is coming up to the top. It's going to overflow into the floor. So here's what I didn't do. Okay, I didn't take off through the house, find my dad, and then stop and say, "Oh, Father, I would like to speak to you for a moment. I have most recently discovered that the water in the toilet in your bathroom is reaching the top of the bowl, and it appears as if it is about to overflow into the floor. I come to you wondering, what would you have me to do in this situation?" No, that's not at all what I did. I saw that water rising up in that toilet. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I've never seen this happen before, and I know it's going to be bad. So I take off through the house, and I run to my dad and say, "Dad, the water in the toilet's overflowing. What do you want me to do? What should we do? Dad!" I come crying out to him. It's kind of like saying, "Abba." I come to him, that relationship, not that I have to come formally, but I come to him to seek his help and to come to him for his assistance and to know what to do in this situation. I'm not saying we're not reverent to God, but God, because of Christ, has made us his children so that we can come and cry out, "Abba, Father." We can come to him as our dad, especially in our hour of trouble. At any time, we can pray without ceasing. All right, that's point number one. Wait a second. I hope that we'll do that right now. Churches, facing these uncertain days in our country. We have got to be praying and calling out to our God. Point number two. During this pandemic, I'll finish up in the next 3 minutes, I hope. During this pandemic, I want to ask you, what is your greatest concern? What is your greatest concern? Consider that for a second. What's your greatest concern? Is it food? Is it toilet paper? Is it paper towels? Is it getting your next paycheck? Is it making your mortgage payment? Providing for your family? Preserving your sanity as you're quarantined? Just think about in 13 years, when all the babies who are born at the end of this year turn 13 years old in 2030. 33, we can call them the quarantines. I thought that was funny. I saw that this morning. I thought y'all would laugh more than that. The quarantines, get it? All right, so let's move on. We need to be praying for our extroverts. There's a lot of extroverts who are like confined, can't go out and do their extrovert thing. I'm thankful I'm not an extrovert, but we need to remember those folks. All right, so this is an hour of crisis in our country. If we follow Jesus' lead, according to this passage, if we follow His lead and learn from His example and His prayer, we should say, and it should be our heart's desire, that His glory would be the greatest concern in our life, that God would be glorified through us. Because this is an hour of crisis, but Jesus was facing a much more difficult hour than we are facing. I think we could all agree of that. And during that hour, what was His prayer? "Father, glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You." So we can ask ourselves, do our actions and our words in casual conversation, our personal thoughts, and even our intentional words with others, do they flow from that concern of God being glorified through us? I remember asking somebody a question many years ago during a very difficult time in my life and in the church's life. I asked that person, I said, "What is your concern? What's your interest? What is your greatest interest in all of this?" And that person's answer was this, that he wanted to maintain his reputation. You don't know this person, okay? So don't even try to figure out who it is. All right? They wanted to maintain their reputation. I respected this person, so I thought, okay, well, I guess that's a pretty good answer. But as you think about it, that's a terrible answer. It's not about maintaining our reputation in any shape, form, or fashion, except that it means that we don't bring reproach upon the name of Christ. We want to glorify God, and that is what our greatest desire is, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all for the glory of God. I hope that that's your concern. So, as we view our lives, even during this pandemic, that it's not our own. But we've been bought with a price. Therefore, we want to glorify God in our body and spirit, which are the Lord's. Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus lived this. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 2:11, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him." John 7:18, "He who seeks the glory of the One who sent Him is true, and no unrighteousness is in Him." John 8:50, "I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." John 11:4-40, in the context of Lazarus, he says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And then he says in verse 40, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" John 12:27, he prayed, "Father, glorify your name." During this pandemic, let that be our prayer, church. Jesus has gone before us and prayed that. And let that be our prayer now, that God would glorify His name through us during this time. We are so grateful that the Scripture tells us that the psalmist said he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's people begging bread. So we shall continue to move forward and believe that. But today, if you're not a child of God, listen. Jesus isn't your high priest if you're not in Him, if you haven't believed in Him. So I would urge you today to consider what Christ has done to redeem you, to give His life for your sins that results in God being glorified. And my plea with you today is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your Savior. Receive the free gift of salvation through Christ. The thing about a gift, church, is that it's paid for by somebody else. And the gift of salvation has been paid for by somebody else. All you have to do is receive Christ as your Savior. "For as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in His name." Thank you for watching the video this morning, this message. I pray the Lord will bless it to your hearts. And I pray that God will allow us to be His people and to live for Him. As a benediction, I'll read from Hebrews 13. And then I'll be making another video that y'all can watch either following this one or this evening for your evening time of worship. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, I'll read verse 16 as a reminder, but it says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." He says also, "Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips." And then finally in verse 20, "Now, and as a benediction, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." And all God's people said, amen. Love you, church. I'll see you soon.